There's a wonderful Kabbalistic tradition of Lithuanian rabbis. Never thought you'd hear that in a sentence. A Kabbalistic tradition of the Arizal that was passed down in Volozhin with regard to one letter in the Parsha, Parshat Bamidbar, that we're going to be reading in the Aliyah day. The end of the, if you note, all of the counting, there's not that much to talk about, right? In the very, you know, if you want to get started with Shnayim v'Mikra and Rashi, though this is a good Parsha to get started in, there isn't that much Rashi. Lots of counting, lots of numbers, hence the name of the book, Numbers, right? And there is a counting of the different shvatim. The each shevet begins in the following manner. Livnei Shimon, Livnei Gad, Livnei Yehuda, Livnei Yisachar, Lamed, 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 Lid, 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 till you reach the last one. Vinei Naphtali, Toldotam, Lemishpachotam, Levet Avotam, B'nei Naphtali, not Livnei Naphtali, and then it gives their number that there were 53,400 Naphtalians who were between 20 and 60. The that missing Lamed is the focus of this Kabbalistic tradition. Shamati, the Nitziv writes, Shamati mipi hagon, Marenu Rabenu Yitzchak b'shem Ha'ari Kadosh Shemitchila Hayom Manichin Kol Hapitkaot Dechol Yisrael B'Teva Gdola Achat. There were 600,000 roughly ballots that were placed in a very large box, with each one with the specific name of each person written on it. And then they would, each shevet would cover, they would sort it out, and so you would be Livnei, 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 and by the time you reached Naphtali, there was only Naphtali left. So they didn't have to say four Naphtali. That's the Mesorah. What's so big about that Mesorah? What's so special about that Mesorah? There's a major question. And now is not the time to get into the various answers to the question. If you take a look at the number 603,550, it's the exact same number that was reported in Sefer Shemot. When they took, before the building of the Mishkan, they took the Chatzi Mahatzit HaShekel, and they come up with 603,550. This counting, the Torah tells us, is after the dedication of the Mishkan, and 1 month after the dedication of the Mishkan, and we still have 603,550. How is that possible? And there are different answers, and if you're interested in seeing a summary of the different answers, I'll show you a nice article that sums them up. But there is one approach which I want to focus on. It's actually the approach of Professor Kasuto. He basically says that there was only one count. It took a while for the census people to actually go through all of the numbers, go through all of the petakim, all of the ballots, and be able to count the 603,500 of the 550 that they had gotten of the Machatzit HaShekel was the same count that they were dealing with here in terms of the report. Which means that there were two ways that people actually were counted. One was with the Machatzit HaShekel, with that half shekel coin. And the other was with this ballot that was being used so that everyone knew who the person was and from what shevet he came from. Why are there two different ways of counting? Why didn't they simply use the ballots? Why didn't they simply use the Machatzit HaShekel? So I think the answer is, or should be, as obvious as it is profound.
when you take half a shekel, and everyone gives half a shekel, each one of us is anonymous. Each one of us, if you will, isn't complete, to take the approach of some of the parshanim on this. No single Jew is complete. Everyone has to join with someone else. And we all join together in this massive silver. And those silver were used for the base of the Mishkan, the Adanim of the Mishkan, in a very functional, very anonymous, very utilitarian type of way. And if you only count using the Machatzita Shekel, so then no individual has real value, real worth. Your only worth is as part of the collective whole. So you need to have a different way of counting. You need to have the Pitakin, where everyone belongs to their Shevet. And everyone has their own name. And that there's a difference between the contribution of someone coming from Naphtali and the someone coming from Gad and the someone coming from Yehudah. And there's even more of a difference of the individual contributions of each and every person. But if you only had the Pitakim, then you would think that you don't have a responsibility to the collective whole. There's a balance that has to be struck. There has to be a balance between the responsibility and our expectation that we lose a little bit of our individuality, perhaps, when we join into something which is bigger than ourselves, something which is greater than ourselves. But even when we do so, or especially when we do so, the Torah insists that we never look at ourselves, and certainly not look at anyone around us, as having less of an individual worth, less of having an individual responsibility, less of having an individual, special, unique contribution that we can give. We're about to reach Matan Torah. When we stood around the mount, Ish Ki'ish Echad, Kelev Echad, all as one, but especially as one, we still have, each and every one of us, what to give as individuals. Chodesh Tov, have a wonderful morning. We will be starting the Shiurim at 9:20.